Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hello and welcome. I'm Denise Bowles. I am Bowles Doula, and we are back tonight with our show. We're having a really good show here tonight. Today's a really great day. It's International Women's Day. So we have a lot of good things to talk about, and we're going to have a really good time with this show. I just want to let everyone know that tonight we're having a very special guest. We're talking more about doula work, and what we're having happen is that more people are really getting involved in the education and the dialogue, the conversation around doula work. So it's really, really very interesting. It's really dynamic now. Talk is happening more frequently, more openly, and it's happening amongst ourselves. But it's really good when we have birth workers who put together the tools to go ahead and say, okay, we're putting together this educational tool, and we're going to put it out for the public, for the community, and to have the community have access to it, disseminate this knowledge, this wisdom, this education, and promote the conversation around birth and awareness, diversity, culture, accessibility. All these things really happen very well when it comes to that, and having a dialogue and a conversation about birth. But there's a really, really strong paradigm that's still prevalent in birth, and that is that it tends to really, really be spread out very thinly, and it is also known to be pretty much dynamically white-driven. So imagine being a woman of color and going into a hospital where you don't see anyone that looks like you. There's nothing that represents your language or culture. The medical professionals really have no idea what to do as far as communicating with you, and they're basically treating you as though you are a diagnosis. And birth workers have the opportunity to make the difference here by promoting diversity, promoting culture, promoting awareness, and bringing about the education so that it is mainstream. It's in the internet, my radio show, people's blogs, webinars, teleconferences, all these wonderful venues now is out there for birth workers and for the community. So there really is no excuse why there cannot be more diversity and culture happening in birth. So tonight I have a really cool guest. She's dynamite. She's hard to catch, but when you catch her, she's wonderful because she's doing so many great things. I had the opportunity about a year and a half ago to come across Jenna Kirby because she was getting ready to do a training here in New York City. And what happened was during that time I spoke to her and I just called her. I never met this woman before, never had any interaction with her before, and I brought up to her my soapbox pitch about diversity and accessibility for women of color and how there should be scholarships available so there's access, blah, 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 right? And thinking that I was going to get an argument back, I did not. And as a matter of fact, I got the complete opposite. Jenna was more than willing to have that door open and keep it open. And from there, we forged a very good friendship. I've been right here on the front line with her, watching her do her work. There's a lot of things that we're going to find out about her and her work tonight. And I'm really, really happy to have her on my show. Like I said, she's hard to catch. But when you got her, it's gold. So tonight, my co-host here is Jenna Kirby, and she's doing a wonderful new project called The Cultured Doula. Jenna, you're on the air. You're my co-host for tonight. Welcome, and I'm so glad you made it.
I'm so glad you made it, too. Thank you so much for that. You couldn't hear me, but I'm over here going, yep, yes, I'm like listening to you nodding my head. I'm like, yes, all of these things. I need all of this. Of course.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Yeah, that's all I've been talking about. This is like the theme this year, and I'm glad that I really feel like it's picking up some momentum. People are starting to understand. I think some people are starting to wake up, as it were, to the truth of things, and the truth can be really hard to handle. I know, what's that quote? Gloria Steinem said, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. And And it's really true, though. I mean, a lot of people who I talk to about diversity, who I talk to about privilege, a lot of times the first reaction is it's a reaction. It's not an understanding. It's not a comprehension. It's a reaction where they feel defensive. And that can make these discussions difficult. But I think, you know, everything that's difficult is usually worth it. I mean, look at birth. That couldn't be more difficult.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, let's back up for a minute. Anyone who's listening to the show, you're more than welcome to call in to 323-870-3891. That's 323-870-3891. There is an event page for this radio show tonight on Facebook. So if you have any questions or any queries you'd like to share, please post them there, and we'll make sure that Jenna gets them, and we'll have a really good time talking. Jenna, before we proceed any further, I'd like you to tell our listeners, who the hell is Jenna Kirby, and what is it that you're doing?
Who the heck am I? You know what? I'm so glad that you said that. That's actually, I wrote an article called Who the Hell Does Jenna Kirby Think She Is? I wrote that a while ago because I had heard I was at a cocktail party, and I overheard in somebody else's conversation, they were like, who the heck does so-and-so think she is? They weren't talking about me, but basically, you know, who the heck does so-and-so think she is? And that made me think about it. I was like, well, who the heck do I think I am, right? Because that's a really good question. Like, who the heck are you? If you don't know who I am, then I guess the best way to describe myself is I am I'm an advocate. I've been advocating for parents and babies for 11 years now. I first started, like a lot of us do, after the birth of my first child. I had her in the hospital. For all intents and purposes, everything went great. I didn't get hurt. I wasn't harmed, but I didn't get informed consent, and I had a lot of things happen to me and then happen afterwards that were because I wasn't knowledgeable. There was a lot of things that I hadn't been told about birth. And the more I thought about it, the more angry I got. And my husband was like, look, I don't want to hear about this anymore. Like, do something or stop talking about it. So my sister and I opened a maternity store, which I thought was the answer, years ago in Fresno, California, because I thought I could just, you know, everybody who was pregnant would come through the doors and then I could sneak up on them with all this great information. And then after a while, my husband's like, you are working way too hard doing this because you're only helping one person at a time. Where, you know, somebody would come in and I'd talk to them for 2 hours, but there was like one person. And he said, it's too bad you don't have your own radio program. And I was like, it is too bad I don't have my own radio program. And so every day at lunchtime, I went and hit up radio stations locally in town until somebody gave me a show. And I had an AM show for 2.5 years. Then I also had a local cable show that I was funding through the maternity store, which is probably why we went out of business. But I was just like dead set on telling women and parents like what they weren't being told, what the truth was, like what you're not going to see in a parenting magazine at your OB office. And I've been doing that now for 10 years. I became a doula 11 years ago. I'm just tireless when it comes to letting parents know what no one's telling them. So my radio show is called Progressive Parenting Radio. I've been on Blog Talk now for 6.5 years, and I've been training doulas for about 6.5 years now, and over the world. And it's a beautiful life that I lead that can be really frustrating in that we still have so many people to get in front of. You know, there's still so much information to share that can help people, especially when we're talking about people who aren't privileged enough to even have the most basic of information. And you were talking about care. I'm from Fresno, California. My friend was a L&D nurse for a very short stint because she couldn't handle it. And she said she went in one day and this woman was laying in bed. She had just had a baby. And she went to look at her closely and she still had vomit on her gown from the day before when she was in labor. And her sheets hadn't been changed. They were dirty. And she didn't the woman didn't speak Spanish. Now, my friend's Italian-American, and she doesn't speak Spanish either. But she's very broken Spanish. She asked her, and the lady was so grateful that Lisa was even paying any kind of attention to her at all. And she would tell me these horror stories about the disparities in the hospital and in care. Or if you don't speak English, you're not going to get the same kind of care. And you won't be treated the same if you're very young or if you're just not white. And that sounds terrible. And people might go, oh, well, that's not true. And that doesn't happen in my hospital. It might, you just because you haven't seen something bad happen doesn't mean it's not happening. That was me going way off of who I am. But that is who I am. This is what I work strongly for,
yes.
Educating people.
Yes. And, you know, it's really amazing what you just said, the relativity of something happening in someone's life that now becomes a permanent issue. And I will never forget, as a young girl, when Bill Clinton was president of the United States and his mother died of breast cancer, shazam, all of a sudden we got a breast cancer stamp in the post office. So when it becomes personalized, those naysayers that will say, oh, no, that will never happen in my church or my school or my hospital, guess what? It does happen, and you're just not there to experience it because you're not the person who would likely be having that experience. So I think that's very interesting, and we're going to find out some more profound things about you, Jenna, too. Now, also, so I want to let the listeners know that you've been doing this doula work for 11 years before it became chic, before it became on talk shows, before it became this capitalistic model that many are alluding to. You've been doing this work for a long time. Isn't there something else we need to know about you? What is your actual heritage?
My background, I'm second generation. My mom and dad were born here in the United States, but my grandparents on both sides of the family are from Mexico. And then if we go farther back, I think there might be some German, like three, four generations removed, and some Spanish for sure. Second generation Mexican-American.
So you identify your heritage as being of Mexican descent.
Oh, yeah, I'm Mexican.
All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I'm saying this to the listeners because I'm leading them into this whole story about why you are who you are and what you are doing, Jenna. Mexican descent.
Yeah, and my dad, I'm actually named after a Johnny Mathis song that was really popular in 1971, and the name of the song is Gina, and it's spelled G-I-N-A. And so my dad, being like this super like unique, I want to be like different than everybody, Mexican man, I love him so much, he changed it to G-E-N-A. So my entire life, everybody has called me Jenna or Genna, even though my dad meant for everybody to call me Gina. So that's like a crazy side story. I'm totally named after a Johnny Mathis song.
Well, that just goes to show the duality of who you are, Gina, Jenna. How's that?
Can you call me Gina? As long as you call me.
Oh, gosh. Now, Gina, I tell you, what was the doula world like 11 years ago before the wheel was invented and when women were having births and caves? Tell us how far back that is. How was it 11 years ago?
Well, I think I was really, really, really lucky. I became a doula when there were three doulas in town, and one of them happened to be my doula. And
hello?
And she was working as L&D nurse.
You're going in and out on this.
How about now?
I can hear you now. Okay, good.
Okay, I won't move my hand again.
Okay.
My mentor was a nurse, and she had been a doula for about 10 years. So I was really lucky that even though there wasn't a huge community of doulas, the person who I mentored with, gosh, she was so pivotal. She has a big heart, and she believes in abundance, and she taught me so much as a nurse and a midwife. And so I was really, really lucky there. There wasn't any like competition per se because we were all just kind of coming up together. I was donna trained, and in our donna training, I remember our trainer said, you know, what kind of doula are you going to be? Like, where do you feel the most comfortable? If you don't feel comfortable in hospitals, will you do hospital work? And I thought, wow, this is a really great question. And then she said something very wise. She said, get to know the doulas around you and what they're comfortable with and who they're comfortable with so that you can recommend to them if somebody fit for you. And I was like, oh, this is great.
Okay.
When,
so your
when
culture,
to
being that you are
community.
Of Mexican, uh-huh. But I just wanted to ask really quickly, because you are of Mexican descent, you grew up knowing what a doula is, and that was part of your family style, correct?
No. You said you grew up and then you cut out. I thought, what was the end of that?
I'm sorry. You grew up in a family where you knew what a doula was because that was part of your family style.
No, absolutely not. I grew up when my grandmother was pregnant with my mom. She was already in the United States working in the field, and my grandfather took her to a hospital, even though she and all of her brothers and sisters were born at home. She gave birth in a hospital and had twilight sleep with my mom. And my mom gave birth in a hospital and had she was under, like, all kinds of drugs with me. So my immediate knowledge of birth was completely, like, American, 100%. Like, we within a generation and a half, we had already lost so much. Where my grandma knew what a partera was, she knew what a midwife was, but didn't have any firsthand experience. She was the baby in the family, so she didn't get to see any of her brothers and sisters be born. I think when her baby brother was born, she was out of the house working. So she never saw birth. She didn't have an idea of what it was. And then back then, you know, they didn't even talk to you about your period, let alone birth. Everything was a mystery. So within two generations, that knowledge was lost to us. Like, it doesn't take long to lose really important. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I didn't know what a doula was until I opened my maternity store and I was looking for someone to teach Lamaze. And that Lamaze instructor happened to be a doula, and I heard her talking about it. And I got pregnant that year. Yeah, I had my second child with a doula. And my husband said, you went and spent all of the money you ever saved in your whole life on this maternity store, and what you really wanted to be was a doula. I'm like, do I? He's like, yeah, you want to help women. You want to help them feel their power. You want to share with them all this stuff. Owning a store isn't going to be what's going to make you happy. Being a doula is going to make you happy. And my God, he was totally right. Totally right.
Wow.
I
have to back up for a minute, Jenna, because I know you have so much good stuff to share. So I'm going to keep kind of cutting your answers a little bit because I want to get in here. This is a very profound statement you just said, is that within 2.5 years, your culture, your norms from Mexico, basically once here in America, they were kind of got left behind.
Lost. Everything was lost.
Oh, my goodness.
Baby wearing, lost. Sharing a room with your baby, sharing, you know, a bed with your baby, lost. All those ideas, lost. Breastfeeding, no longer the norm. Within just 2.5 generations, my grandmother and my mom, and then just lucky for me, I listened to my gut. It was my gut and not my culture that told me that breastfeeding was okay and, you know, past 6 weeks, and sleeping with my baby was okay, and having a baby at home was going to be okay. But those are things I had to fight my own culture for. My grandma and my mom were already sold on the American way within the 2 generations. Yeah, that's hardcore.
That is a very profound statement. And, you know, I really didn't know that. And I'm a social worker, and I'm out here doing the doula work. And being a Black woman, my culture, my heritage, we have 400 years of diluting our culture and our norms and traditions. And you say for you, it was just, you know, 2.5 years, poof, done, gone. And so I really want the listeners to understand that, especially doulas and birth workers, that, you know, that's why this is so important, that we maintain that through education and accessibility and having these wonderful transparent conversations, because it's something that important to get lost, like baby wearing, breastfeeding, sleeping in with the baby. All those things can get lost within 2.5 years. That's very profound.
Well, 2.5 generations, but still, I mean, you know, between my grandma coming here, giving birth to my mom, and then her giving birth to me. So within, just between two births of people, you know. That's
right.
It's Right. What a loss. What a terrible loss. And we've lost so much.
Wow. But I truly do believe that even though the maternity store wasn't the thing, I think that maternity store that you owned really helped you get in contact with people to get you to where you are. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I remember sitting around reading all the – we had a lending library, right? So I read all the books in the library, and I read all the books, you know, by Penny Simkin and Isabel Fox and Tina Cassidy and Anne Penny. Yeah, Robbie Davis Floyd, and just reading all these books, Good Nights with Jay Gordon and all of the Sears books, you know, getting to, like, read all this stuff. And then, you know, like, 10 years later, I'm hanging out with these people in my life.
Wow, that is very profound. So
it's
now,
like, how is this even happening?
Yeah, so... You know, let's talk a little bit. Let's fast forward now. You've gone around the world and you've done Rebozo training, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And what was that like?
Oh, I have to tell you, because it's about 7 years now, it is so exciting to me to see that Rebozo being used all over the world. And I want to touch on two things, because some people get really, like, bent out of shape, like, why are you teaching white ladies how to do this? And I'm like, do you know how happy it makes me feel to see pictures that women send me from, like, Connecticut of them using the Rebozo to wrap their babies in and keep their babies from crying, to use it on their partners to help form connections, to, like, use the Rebozo and be like, this beautiful thing from Mexico means the world to me. Like, that's appreciation. They're not, like, going, oh, isn't this so cute? Like, they write me stories and make you cry. It's exciting to me to share my culture with the world, you know, where there's women in South Africa that are like, this has changed my life. This is going to change how I doula. And they get that this is not not just some piece of fabric, right? Because a lot of people in forums will say, oh, you could just use a towel or a sheet. And I'm like, no, like, no.
Right.
And my students get it, right? So, like, it's been wonderful to share not just the knowledge of how to use the Rebozo, but what it means to the culture and to those people and to the people who have used it their entire lives, whose grandmothers were buried in it. Like, you can't just use a towel. And my students get it. So, yeah, this has meant everything to me, to see it everywhere and to see people sharing it, and it's just exciting. It's exciting to see it gain more popularity. I mean, it's a Rebozo for crying out loud. You see it everywhere. It's so nice.
Yeah, and I have taken a Rebozo training. I have a Rebozo. Sometimes I do get some flack in the hospitals because they're concerned about, you know, the cleanliness of it, using it from person to person. there have been times where, you know, mom was just really too messy. So, yeah, we did have to use a sheet because, you know, things were just really getting too messy. So, yeah, I understand. But, you know, let's go back for a minute. Now, Jenna, looking at you, if anybody looks at Jenna Kirby's profile on Facebook, they will see this really gorgeous statuesque woman who's about maybe size 6 on a good day, 8 on a bad day. She looks stunning. You look stunning, Jenna. You don't look like you are a mother of several children and you're running all over the place and doing all this good stuff. Do you think that your appearance helped open doors for you?
Yeah, I guess. Always. There's been studies on that. Like, I know that if I dress nice, I get treated nicer in airports. That's for
I remember that.
Yeah, I've done experiments on it. I've traveled in my sweats and I've traveled really sharp and I get treated really good when I dress really sharp. Always matters.
Uh-huh. But I'm also talking about the fact you do not look like a traditional Mexican woman. You're tall. You have more Anglican features.
Yeah, 5'6" is pretty tall for a Mexican girl. That is true. I am tall. I got my mom is more yellow and my dad is more like lighter skinned, but he's got the German on his side farther back.
Okay.
So that might be where the coloring comes from. Yeah, nobody knows what I am. When I lived in Kazakhstan, I went to high school there in the 80s and everybody thought I was from there. Because they look, there's like a Asian background there that runs throughout Kazakhstan. So, and I, on my dad's side, I think two generations back, my great-great-great-grandfather was Filipino. So, yeah, I look very interesting. I get, when I was living in Spain, everybody thought I was Spanish. I don't know. I've been very lucky to look like wherever I live. I don't know.
Yeah.
Even in Kazakhstan. So that was exciting.
Yeah, so you've been around culture no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm very lucky to have traveled since a very young age. I went to high school in Russia. I lived in Spain. I'm a Rotary scholar, which is an ambassadorial scholar. I got a scholarship to go to Spain when I was 20 years old, and I lived there for a year on a full ride from the Rotary. And I've been very fortunate to travel the world and see what things are like all over the world. And I will say, if you dress nice, people will treat you nice.
Okay. So I want to get back to the topic of the show here too. Now, you are a international traveler. Your view, your vision, your experiences are very, very wide open because you've traveled to places that many people will never get to. Fast forward to the culture doula. How did you come across this idea? How did this baby become yours?
It's just from years of going to workshops where I'm there and I'm like, I'm going to teach you about the reversal today. You know, in my mind, that's what I was going to share. And then I get into the workshop and I'm like, okay, so you guys are all really aware of, let's just say, Dr. Amali Lokugamage. I could just throw it out there. She wrote a great book. And I bring up something in the book.
Uh-oh, we lost you.
I have to stop moving that way. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, great. So I would bring up books, or I would say, well, you know, Dr. Marston Wagner always said blah, 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 and they're like, well, who's that? Like, well, he wrote this great book called Born in the USA. Or I would quote something from a movie, and then people would say, well, I've never seen that birth movie, or I've never read that book. Or, and what I was starting to understand was that there was a lot of gaps in the doula education because the certifying bodies are so different, right? And they have different reading lists, and every doula isn't going to get the same education. And even if
right.
they all have the same education, they're not going to maybe geek out super hardcore on this other side stuff because they don't have time. And with information in front of everybody, but how are you going to do that? And how are you going to do it where it doesn't break the bank? Like all of these, a lot of these weekend, like you're going to become a doula in 2 days. Classes only cover some questions. And I'm like, no, I don't want to certify anybody. I just want everybody to know stuff so they can be better doulas. And not just the stuff that I'm talking about. What I found out is I would be talking to classes about how to bring the partner in. And so a doula would say to me, oh, well, what happens if the dad, you know, doesn't want to be a part of it? And I'd say, well, why doesn't he want to be a part of it? Did you ask him this? Did you ask him that? Did you ask him in this way? And the answer would be no. And so what I was finding out was a lot of doulas don't know about nonviolent communication. They don't know about counseling skills. There's just a lot of things that can help us be doulas that have nothing to do with birth. So I was like, I want to do a program where people learn about birth, of course, but they also learn about things outside of birth that will help them thrive as a doula, as an individual, as a mom, as a partner to someone else, and be happy and be a doula. But then also learn how to communicate with the doctor and the nurse and the grandmother and the brother-in-law or whatever in the room with nonviolent communication, and how to understand hospital staff better. And just like, there's so much stuff that doulas need to know that there's no way in the world you could ever cram into a weekend. And so the
right.
culture doula program, I was like, let's do it for a whole year, do two classes a week. Everybody can do it in their PJs. They don't have to keep up. They won't get in trouble if they don't, because everybody's busy, because people get sick, because babies are born, because life. And then make it at a price that
most people can afford, and if people can't, then they need to talk to me. And that's what we've done. We've already given out 90, not full, but close to full scholarships. So it's been like over, I think we're at like $3,200 in scholarships given away. And I'm not a corporation, I'm just me. But I believe that if a doula like really, really, really wants this and she can't, you know, afford what we're asking for right now to cover our costs and pay our speakers, we'll figure out a way. We'll figure something out because this information is too important. We are not certifying doulas. This is an enrichment program. But somebody could go through this program and know a lot more about birth than you might learn in a two-day training.
Okay. So I want our listeners to understand that this is not a certifying doula program. This is an enrichment program that I think is so vital to all doulas because in your doula journey, you may come across someone who's of a different culture, norm, religious background, or actually a different practice of birth itself from your usual community because our communities tend to be these little microcosms where we don't venture out and see different things and have different experiences. And I know from my own doula training, it was very homogeneously white, and that's why I went to other doula programs, took their training to get that infusion of culture, didn't certify with all of them that I took, but I wanted to get that diversity. And here you are, Jenna. You're bringing exactly what I was looking for several years ago. You're bringing it all under one program called the Cultured Doula. I think that's phenomenal. I think every doula should definitely look into this, especially working in urban areas, especially doulas who love to travel. Why not? Now, just explain a little bit more about the program itself. Is a weekly program?
Yeah, there's two videos a week. One is a petite training, which just it's a 30-minute training, and that's on Thursdays. And then on Saturdays, we have a speaker come on at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, mostly, unless they're at a birth or they need a different day. But two a week, so one is a half an hour with a talk back, and then the other is an hour with a talk back. And then you also get enrolled into our online Rebozo Master Course, which is a, there's 4 hours of Rebozo learning and then another 20 hours of learning tacked onto it that I want folks, if they're going to say that they're Master Rebozo trained, that they really understand the Rebozo. So there's the Master Rebozo program, the two weekly videos, and then everyone who's in the program has access to videos from our mini birth conferences called Flock, F-L-O-C-K, Flock, yes. We're doing 10 of them this year. In fact, there's one this weekend in Toronto, and we're going to record our speakers from there for the people who are in the CDP. So you're getting, like, a ridiculous amount of knowledge for a very small amount of money. And I'm excited about it because you were talking about, like, birth justice. Some of our speakers, one of our speakers is Shafia Monroe. And for your listeners who don't know, she's a motivational speaker. She is just amazing. She is just a full package. She speaks on birth justice, the importance of cultural competency, which is going to be a really big theme for us this year, infant mortality prevention, birth justice, and the history of the African-American midwife. And she's just, I love Ms. Monroe. I took a cultural competency class from her in Oregon just this last year, and she blew my mind, and I was like, I need you in front of every doula I can get you in front of. And right now we have 180 people in the Culture Doula program, and I want more. We have room for 300, and I have more scholarships to give. If this speaks to you, if you want to know more. Oh, and by the way, the biggest thing for me is that we have a private, like a chat room. It's a forum. You can start your own forum if you're in the CDP about anything that you want to talk about, and it's a safe place. We don't have any room for anything that isn't positive or loving. There's enough of that out in Facebook world, and in the Culture Doula program, we are adults, and we are loving people, and we're compassionate, and we can talk in the way that we're learning how to talk in the Culture Doula program in our forums. So nobody's going to jump down your throat if you ask a question, if you say something that maybe only a newer person would say. Nobody's going to make you feel bad about asking that question. And that's what it should be like, and that's what it's like in the Culture Doula program.
Okay. I am absolutely so very proud of you. Because to step out here for all the years that you've been doing this work as a doula, and you saw that there was a deficit, and instead of just riding out the complain crowd or the critique crowd, as I call them, you went ahead and you put something together out of your own imagination and your own experiences of your life that you know that if you pull a group of people together, everyone has value, everyone can contribute something.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud of this Cultured Doula program that you're doing. I know for a fact that I kind of invited myself to be one of your speakers.
Oh, no.
I'm volunteering my services, of course, because I think it's so vital that doulas understand this. And the reason why I was so emphatic to get you on the show, Jenna, I have my own hidden agenda. I was part of a doula conversation on a social media page. And the conversation was about you, and the conversation was about this very program. And unfortunately, the conversation did not go as well as I would have liked it to because people simply aren't in the know. And right now, this show with you, I'm telling doulas, get in the know before you critique or comment on anyone. Get to know that person and understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how you can pitch in to help them to do this work well instead of critiquing and tearing each other down and giving shade, speculating, all these wonderful good things that are found in these damn doula groups, okay? It has to come to a stop. And I really am so proud of you that you thought enough to say, you know what, I'm going to reach out to these people and I'm going to get this group together because there has to be more culture in doula programs. And as you said, in 2 to 3 days of doula training, a doula could never get all the training that she really can use to go out in the world and be as diverse and as solid as she can be. It takes years of experience. It takes years of exposure. Many doulas don't get that because they're in their own community and they never leave it. But here you are. You've been traveling since you were a young child. You come from a very broad and worldly view through your own exposure. And to have this Culture Doula program is phenomenal. And I didn't even know that much about it until, you know, having the show with you and finding out the background and what led you to this. So this show tonight is really to honor you. Yeah, it's really to honor you, Jenna, because you really – you know, have done the work. And, you know, you've been out here for 11 years. You see what's not happening. And instead of complaining or critiquing it, you went out and did something about it. So I'm really, really proud of you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, shade comes, whatever. I just, you know, go ahead, throw shade. That's cool.
Yeah, well,
you know
how it is.
Haters
going
to hate.
You're not enough, you're not Mexican enough, you shouldn't be teaching Rebozo, you're not this enough,
right.
You're not that enough. But meanwhile, this is coming from people who probably didn't do diligence and really just picked up the phone and called you and got what they need to know.
That's been happening for the longest time, and it's okay, you know, even in non-dualist circles. You were saying, like, what I look like. It's funny because for somebody else, you know, not you, somebody to say, like, oh, you're not Mexican or you don't look Mexican enough. I'm like, I look like my mom and I look like my dad and their parents. You know, they're Mexican. And I look a little bit more like my grandma on my mom's side, and she's from freaking Mexico. Like, how Mexican does one person have to be, or, like, how black do you have to be?
I don't know if you have to be
a human being.
Grounding tortillas enough for them to say, oh, yeah,
right?
That's a Mexican. Right there.
I had some lady tell me that I wasn't Mexican enough. I was like, I speak Spanish. Do you? And she's like, well, no. Like, can we not have this argument right now?
Wow.
Can we just look at each other, like,
it has
people
to go there.
And not, yeah, like, let's not be silly. Come on. You know, and a lot of times, too, though, like, just consider the source. I always consider the source. If the person who's telling me that I'm not Mexican enough and I'm not doing enough and I'm not trying hard enough, and if I look at them and they're working 100 times harder than me and doing a million other things, you know, that I've never dreamed of, then I'm going to be like, wow, I need to stop and listen, and, you know, to what they have to say. But if they're just sitting back and they haven't done anything and they're just really, really good at throwing shade, then I'm like, well, okay, I'll just consider the source and I'm going to keep doing what I do. And I'm not going to stop. Listen, my favorite thing, I have it up in my office. It says, You can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world, and there's still going to be somebody who hates peaches. That's up
there
in my
you
office,
have it.
So.
There you have it.
And that's
there
what we're going to talk about in the Culture Doula program, too, is we're going to do a lot of talk about, talking a lot about horizontal violence, getting really real. And if people go and watch, if they go to my blog at GinaKirby.com and they read the blog about the CDP, what is the CDP? There's a video there. And we talk about things that we pledge to you. And one of the things that I pledge to my students is we are going to talk about the hard things. And there are a lot of hard things to talk about. And one of them is horizontal violence. And we're going to talk about times like, have you ever talked crap about somebody? I'm going to raise my hand right now. Yes, I have. Have you ever gossiped about somebody? Yes, I have. And like get really into these really hard conversations about how are we going to stop hurting other women? We have enough
That's
to deal
right.
with from the patriarchy.
Right.
And that is a symptom of the patriarchy, is the shade that we throw at other women. Instead of, like you said, picking up the phone. I had a woman publicly just recently go after me. And I was like, do you know I'm Mexican, right? And she was like, oh. And I'm like, you could have just asked me. Not that I think it matters, that it does matter to you, but you could have just came to me instead of talking in a group of people about me. You know, and another in time, you and I could be best friends. So, you know, why start like this? Why be like this with each other? But, you know, until all those things change, we have to start where? We have to start with ourselves. So I'm slowly but surely trying to become a better person. And that's all I can do. I can't complain about what some other lady's saying about me unless I'm 100% clean or, you know, I'm living in a glass house right now. I cannot be thrown stones. So all I can do is, like, I can hear people say those things about me, and that's fine. What really matters is what I am doing. How I react to that is more important than what they're saying about me.
Right. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to have this show with you, because I knew you could carry this conversation with me, and I knew that you would put your spin on it, and I knew it would be freaking awesome. So there's that. That's one of the things I would like to see happen with doulas here for 2017 is we really have to stop this tearing up and tearing down. As you said, in the times that we're in, we have a lot of work to do. That energy could be placed on some other really good things. So, I'm with you on
that. We just don't have time for that garbage. And, you know, the media tries to, like, be a part of that patriarchy, putting up shows where women are, like it's sport to watch women beat up on other women. And like that is not acceptable. Like the real wives kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to be no real woman of Albuquerque, real doula of Albuquerque. Like, I don't want any part of that. I want to have a show where, where we're just constantly asking people, what have you done for someone else? How did you help lift up one of your sisters today? How did you help uplift another doula or doodla? How what have you done to help someone else? Because that stuff comes back to you. That's like your cultural currency, man, your karmic currency. That's just, I don't know.
So let's talk a little bit
more
about
I was going to tell you one more thing.
Oh, sure.
The culture doula came from people would write me emails or like personal messages or like DMs on Instagram where, because I said I've been very fortunate. I got asked to be in the on the board of directors for Attachment Parenting International years ago. I was on the board for 5 years, which made, I was lucky enough because I was on the board, people like Dr. Sears and Martha Sears were on the board. People like the founders, of course, of Attachment Parenting International, all these people that I looked up to, Dr. James McKenna, on all these people whose books I read a long time ago in my maternity store, waiting for a customer to come in. I've gotten to meet and make friends with these people, with these amazing people, with Hermine Hayes Klein and Christian Piscucci and all these people in my circles, with Ina May Gaskin and Gail Tully. So, like, I have pictures of me all over the place with my friends, like with Robin Lim. And people would be like, oh, you're so lucky. I wish I could be a fly on the wall. And that was part of the culture doula thing where I was like, and this is from my husband. He was like, why don't you just call up, Tammy Ryan from Spinning Babies, ask her to be in it. I'm like, really? You think? He's like, she's your friend. Ask her.
And so I just started asking all of my friends, like, hey, Joe Valley, hey, Patrick Hauser, like, would you, and they're all like, yeah, of course I would. And that's what blew me away was everybody got the vision. Everybody was like, of course I will do this. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, of course I want all my friends, you know, to promote their things and who they are and what they do. That's part of my vision. That my friend Leslie knows for a long time, all I've been thinking about is like, how can I do something that is going to help doulas and help my friends at the same time? And I found it. I found this is it. This is my baby. This is what I've wanted for so long. I'm like ready to cry right now because I've been trying to figure out how to make this happen, and technology finally caught up to my dream, and now we can make this happen.
Well, I am certainly very proud to be celebrating that with you. I think the culture doula is really a accumulation of your years of being out in the world and being so open and being so transparent that now, you know, you are able to put your hand on all these wonderful, diverse, super duper powerhouses in birth. The wisdom here is just amazing, and I'm just really, really awestruck of you, but it just really speaks to your life's work. This is your life's work, and it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you for even talking about it. I really appreciate it. Wow, thank you. It means a lot to me. I didn't know. I didn't really know what we were going to talk about or what was going to come up.
Oh, no. I like to keep my guests on their toes because if I give them a rehearsed script, then it's really not transparent.
No, yeah.
I just want you to say what you need to say, and because that's the time you'll be speaking in truth. So it's really a lot of fun. So now I put up here on the event page or on Facebook, but how can a listener, if they come back and listen to the show, say, wow, I want to do this culture doula thing, how can they sign up?
Well, they can just go to GinaKirby.com, and then once they get there, they can go to, under offerings, it says university, they can go to the university and then pick the CDP. All of your listeners today, everybody's privy to $20 off the program. All you have to do is put in Gina Hookup. And that's good until we'll make it good till tomorrow midnight because it's already 8:00 in your time. So we won't change the price because the price is going up on the CDP. It's $49 a month for the year, and which gets you the, like I said, the Master Rebozo credential. That alone we usually have up on the website is $800. So that's already included. Then the over 48 speakers that we have throughout the year, and then the forum and the mentoring that comes with it. And the community, of course, and then the privy, your priviness to all of the flock, yeah. So you don't have to fly to any of these places because we're doing them in San Diego, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Chicago, New York, and Nashville. We're going actually to the farm on one of those days. And you can be a part of that vicariously just by being a member of the CDP, which is usually $49 a month. And for your listeners, it's $29. And we'll run that. We'll just run it till Friday. I'll run it till Friday.
Okay, so it's a,
and then,
okay, so it's a discount of $20?
It's a discount of $20 every month.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I'm just putting this all in the event page so everybody could know, you know, what to do.
Yeah, that's
okay, so I'm just putting
that
all in here. Uh-huh. And it's good until Friday, okay. Okay, great.
Right. And if anybody needs more help than that, if there's somebody out there who's doing pro bono work in their community and they're training other doulas of color or they're just, you know, doing good work, you can email me at progressiveparentingradio@gmail.com. And I have a little thing that just, you don't have to tell me how much money you make. You don't got to tell me what's going on with you financially. I just ask a number of questions from you. And I ask you which number of dollars off a month would help you the most. And we just give it to you because we trust you. So I want to help.
Okay.
So email me.
Wonderful. I just put all this information in the event page, and I highlighted you so you can see everything. So that is really, really awesome. I'm very excited about this. I'm so glad to have you on the show to talk about it. And I'm really looking forward to just following all the wonderful speakers that you have on. And this is very exciting, very exciting.
Oh. It's exciting to me because I get to learn, too.
Yeah, I mean, you really,
Yeah, it's just amazing that you know this many people. Yeah, but you know so many people.
I didn't think about that until my husband brought it up. He's like, well, aren't you friends with so-and-so? I'm like, yeah. He goes, didn't you spend the night at Barbara Harper's house? I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, yeah. Why don't you just call them and ask them, you know? And I was like, okay. He's like, you're not asking them to drive you to the airport, Gina. And I'm like, no, you're right. You're right.
You know, and it's just 11 years of doing this work and being around the world and making contact and connections with all these people who are doing the same thing and just giving them a chance to have a voice to just say what wisdom that they want to share as far as culture and birth work. I think this is awesome.
Well, I didn't even announce it yet. We haven't announced her as a speaker yet, but my friend Zinzile, who lives in South Africa, who I met when I was teaching in South Africa, we were friends before on Facebook, but then I met her in person, and she's the Zulu doula. Like, how much can you learn from somebody a whole, like, world away and get their perspective on birth? Yeah, the learning and the sharing that's going on in the CBP is ridiculous. We have doulas in there from Denmark, Germany, the Netherlands, Australia, Spain, Mexico. Did I already say Brazil? Of course, all of the people that in the United States. And South Africa, we have 6 people from South Africa, and someone from Jakarta in Indonesia. It's international. It's not just American. So you're going to get different perspectives without ever leaving the comfort of your own home. You can be all
That's
up in the days talking to somebody, you know, from Brazil in a safe place in our forum, and where no shade is being thrown.
That is amazing. Yeah, Gina, I'm just so amazed by you. But then again, I'm not, because this is your life path, and it's just really amazing. I'm so shocked. I really am. So I'm really glad to have you on the show. You can come back. Yeah, you can come back at any time to, you know, talk more or let us know the outcome or whatever your next project is going to be. I know it's going to be even bigger than this. But I'm really, really excited. So I put everything in the event page.
Good. Yay! I feel like a ding-dong because I'm used to interviewing, not being interviewed, so I feel like I'm tripping all over myself.
No, so I put everything in the event page, all the information, the website, your email, how to get in contact. I put the synopsis of what the program is about. Everything. So everything is there. This radio show, once we're done with it in the next couple of minutes, will be on archive. You can take the link and you can use it any way you want to just let everybody know what this is about. And it's your tool to use. So thank you again, Gina. This has been absolutely wonderful. Before you go, I want the listeners to learn a little bit more about you. You have a very interesting family, don't you? You have a very interesting family.
Yeah.
As far as the fact that you travel around the world and your kids are home and and I think you've been taking. Yeah, but didn't you take Jack with you on several of your trips?
Jack went on every single trip from the time he was 4 months old until the time he was 2. He went every single time I. Town. He's been to over 90 cities in his life and has a passport. He went to London, Ontario when he was 4 months old. So he's been all over. I was pregnant with him when I went to South Africa, and I landed the day Nelson Mandela died. That was very interesting. So Jackie's been around the world even before he was born. I'm a big attachment parenting advocate, so there's no way I was going to leave him at home when he was, like, super needy. But now when I leave, though, he's like, bye.
He doesn't want to get on the plane anymore. Like, I'm done.
Yeah, he's now, good. I got all my money.
Don't you also have a special needs child, too?
Yeah, my 10-year-old Uma has Down syndrome. I have a 14-year-old, and I have a 10-year-old. That's my Uma. And then Charlie is 7, and Jack is 2 years old. So, yeah, we've got
oh gosh, all manner of things going on in the house. I mean, I'm the Miss ADHD over here, and my daughter's got Down syndrome, and we're all just, we always joke and say there's not one normal person in our family, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
That is wonderful. So, I know you're doing huge work on advocacy and awareness for Down syndrome parents too. I know you're out there doing that work too. So, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And Jenna, I love this call. I know more about you now than I ever have, and I'm so glad a couple of years ago you took my call and let me do my rant, and then we were friends. So I'm really glad about it.
I like this lady. That was easy. I'm like, oh yeah, keep talking. I'll keep ranting. I'm just gonna sit here and go, yep. Mm-hmm. I know it.
Like, oh jeez, me. Oh god. So I'm going to end the show here because we've got a lot of information. But before you go, because you know I hate to just let you go that quick and that easy, because it's going to be so hard to catch up to you again. What would you like the listeners to know about the culture doula?
Well, what I want for our students, in my mind, in about a year, when you know these 200, 300 culture doulas go out into the world, that people are going to know who they are just by the way they, like even on Facebook, just by the way they communicate with them. When they say something to someone else in response to something, people are going to go, oh, I know who that person is. That person's definitely a culture doula. That's what I want. I want them to be known by the love in their speech, by the compassion in their heart, and by their good humor, and by their open mind. That's my vision, that people are going to know who they are, where they're like, I know, I bet you money that person is a culture doula. And then it turns out they are. That's what I want.
All right, Jenna. Thank you so much. That is absolutely awesome. I can't thank you enough. And you have to come back on the show and do some.
I love to.
All right, great. All right, great. So let's see. What's another way that they can find you on what? Facebook, Twitter, where?
On Twitter, I am Gina Kirby, G-E-N-A. On Facebook, my public page is just MS Gina Kirby. It's Ms. Gina Kirby. My husband is like, is Ms. Gina Kirby nasty? And I'm like, don't say that out loud. That sounds bad. That's a Janet Jackson reference. Not everybody gets it. We're old. I'm older anyway, me and my husband. Ms. Gina Kirby. Gina Kirby on Instagram. It's just, I'm pretty easy to find. You just Google Gina Kirby. But it has to be G-E-N-A or you'll never find me.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, so now we're going to have to find that Johnny Mathis song and put it in the event page, too, just for kicks.
Oh, my God, no.
All right. So, listeners, you've been listening tonight to the Culture Doula, the founder and the visionary of Gina Kirby. This has been a wonderful show. This is a great show for any birth worker, any sociology student, even an MSW, a social work student. This is for anyone who really wants to get into culture of birth and really find out some really great things from some really noted leaders here in the birth work world globally. This is a global teaching, and it's wonderful. So I'm very, very excited to be a part of it. I can't thank Jenna Kirby enough for being on the show. So remember, a culture doula, if you know anyone who wants to really get into culture of birth work and meet some wonderful experts, this is the perfect venue to do it. It's cheaper than actually getting a cable network thing on your TV, and it's going to be a lot of fun because there's some really awesome people on there, like myself. So, Jenna, thanks once again for being on the show. I had a wonderful time with you, and I love you tremendously, and I deeply, deeply respect you for all the work that you've done. And, you know, I'm sure somehow, some way, the work that you've done has made my entry into doula world a heck of a lot more easier. So thank you.
Oh, wow. Wow. My face right now. I've been smiling this whole time. Thank you so much.
All right, sweetheart. So I'll talk to you soon, and it's always a pleasure to be in your company, Jenna. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Okay. All right, listeners, that was Jenna Kirby here with the Culture Doula Program. It is just an enrichment program. This is not a doula certification program. If you are a doula, a birth worker, lactation consultant, midwife, nurse, doctor, student, whomever you are, this program is diverse enough to really keep you interested for an entire year.
I think it's a wonderful concept. It's a wonderful project that Jenna Kirby's put together after 11 years of being a doula and going around the globe. This is absolutely amazing. So thank you all for joining me here on the show. Next week, we're going to have some wonderful, really powerhouses on the show again from the birth working community. So stay in touch. This is Denise Bold. I am Bold Doula. You can find me on Facebook or at www.bolddoula.com, or you can find me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just put in Denise Bold. Thanks again, everyone, and have a great evening.